Hi, I'm Garth Ennis, and you need to be listening to Drinking with Comics.
Thank you, sir.
No worries.
Hello, and welcome to Drinking with Comics. Thank you. Good night. Good night, Cleveland. There will be no encore.
Thank you, Springton.
Springfield.
I'm Sean. This is Chris. That's Jordan. That's Mark.
Hello.
This is Ralph. Ray is working the camera. We have a live studio audience, and
we are
at El Gallery in lovely downtown El Segundo. Is this downtown El Segundo?
Yes, we are.
Sure is.
Sir, thank you. Ralph is the
proprietor. We are on Main Street.
Main Street. Thank you for having us. So,
which is Jordan's hometown, right?
It sure is.
There you go. Well, yeah. It's a homecoming show.
Yeah.
Back to your roots.
Drinking with Comics, a homecoming.
Yeah.
So, Kirsten couldn't make it. She wasn't feeling good. So, Ray's filling in. So, thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
And, so we were following up. Is it Trivia Armageddon or Armageddon Trivia?
Trivia Armageddon.
So,
Trivia Armageddon West.
So,
ooh,
it
I like
dawned
that.
On me that Armageddon Trivia would not be possible to be hosted until after the apocalypse. And then they could do questions about the apocalypse, like what president, you know, presided over the apocalypse.
What is the Antichrist's favorite food? Go.
Trump.
It's steak with ketchup.
Hamburger. What?
Steak with ketchup. Yeah.
That's actually Trump's nickname in the gay clubs.
Yeah. The comic bug couldn't make it tonight either.
Okay, no more applause for the rest of the show.
Okay.
Except for
El Cuervo.
Yeah.
I'll field all the Cuervos. Thank you.
How'd you get the name El Cuervo? Sorry to jump to the interview.
No, please.
We got the name specifically from the city. El Segundo is saturated with a lot of crows. And the way I heard
What are Cuervos? Like beers or crows?
Crows. So like okay. Jose Cuervo tequila is just Joe Crow tequila.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Essentially.
Wow, I was like the quintessential white guy there for me. I'm like, really? Oh my god, that's fascinating.
So, everybody bought
Hey, quick. How do you say thirsty in Spanish? Anybody?
Tango sed.
Yeah.
What?
Sed.
Sed? Uh-huh. All right, so sed cuervo.
Thirsty crow.
Okay. Yeah.
So you named it after the city?
Essentially, because we had heard a story that the city had a really bad pigeon problem at one point. I want to say the late 60s. So their thought process, and again, it's just legend, but they brought in a bunch of crows to weed out all the pigeons. But the crows, having no natural predators, stayed. And we were like, that's a great name for a gallery. Let's go.
That's a good name.
Absolutely.
I feel like you guys should do some kind of like crossover.
Yeah.
Thirsty crows, El Cuervo.
Yeah. They use the same shampoo, so obviously.
Or like a crow stover.
Right?
A crow stover. Yeah, you guys are closing here soon, right?
Yes, we will be closing within maybe a month or so. Or 2 months.
How long have you been here?
We've been here for almost 3 years.
Oh, man.
And
you were here before that as Gasoline.
My business partner had Gasoline Gallery, and that was in El Segundo for about 10 years.
The same place, right?
Yeah, 2 doors down.
Oh, okay.
It's
one of our buddies did some stuff with Gasoline back when. Ryan Shaver.
Oh, yeah.
You know Ryan?
Yeah, yes.
Really good guy.
Yeah.
San Diego now. Popped out to one of our San Diego gigs and his wife. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's a good guy, man.
So can you tell us a little bit about the aesthetic and what you bring in and all that stuff
here?
Well,
with Cuervo, now Gasoline was very hot rod oriented, so it was very into the deep, lowbrow hot rod scene in particular. Custom culture, artists like Damien Fulton, The Piz, Sarah Ray, really big icons in the hot rod world. And so with Cuervo, we wanted to branch out a little more. So instead of just focusing on hot rods, our idea was let's go to surf, skate, everything you know that makes Southern California, Southern California. So we have artwork from everything from Mexican influence to like Dia de los Muertos to big skateboard shows. Still have a lot of hot rod, low brass surreal, just a little bit of everything, assemblage. So it's all over the lowbrow art world.
And you're closing this up because you have a new chapter in your life.
Absolutely. So
my
business partner's continuing with his work as an assemblage artist. I'm actually teaching at Da Vinci Design.
No, congrats, man.
I was a graphic design teacher there for the juniors and the seniors.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm also hoping to pursue my doctorate in art education.
Cool.
Woo!
Dude, that's awesome.
Man.
So yeah,
Dr. Ralph.
So Ralph and his class actually exhibited at Long Beach Comic Con last week.
Absolutely.
Oh, nice. Did you?
Yes, yeah, they did. Yeah, they had a whole little area over there where they were selling their works and.
And it was thanks to Mike, man.
Seeing the ups and downs
experience they could ever have. I mean, yeah, Saturday cool. was a hard sell. It's such a difficult time trying to make sales. And, you know, the whole time they were like, oh, we spent like $40 on prints. And I'm like,
that's Comic-Con. Dude,
I'm like, right? the dude across the table from you, the professional, he spent $300 for that booth, about $400 on prints and art.
Yeah.
So he's out of a lot of money today. And, you know, so Saturday was tough. But then Sunday, they great crowd. They sold. And everyone sold.
Oh, that's
sold
great.
They probably
that's
made
great.
More money than I did.
But it was thanks to you guys.
Or you.
There's nothing more satisfying than as an artist when people, you know, genuinely take an interest in your work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, absolutely. And you're just like, holy shit, you want to give me money for this?
Yeah.
That was actually pretty much the time.
Okay.
Well, that would have been a great experience for your students. Yeah. So, I mean, how many students?
What?
We took about, I want to say 10 to 12 high school seniors.
That's cool. And they saw both sides of it, so Saturday was rough and Sunday was good. But that's good. I feel like that's
the best experience without having to spend and invest.
Right.
That which a lot of professionals do. That's, you know, they didn't have to do that, luckily.
Right.
They got to experience that and know right off the bat.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something they can't get anywhere else.
That's fantastic.
Well, me and Raph are going to come talk at the school soon. Yeah. Absolutely. I wish we'd done it before you went.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll be there. Yeah. So cool. Thank you for having us here.
Yeah, thank you for having us. It's a beautiful place. And so, what are we drinking?
Tonight I am drinking an Angel City Brewery something or other. This is a mystery beer.
Is that the actual label or did the label
no.
flail off?
No.
Okay,
the label
I'm like,
flail
that's
off.
A pretty like deconstructionist yeah. label.
So
like,
I'm drinking a pretty it's decent a beer from Angel City. It's it is a form of a lager. Wait. Yeah, it's a lager.
Lager.
This makes me look like an aficionado for the camera there.
There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's from Los Angeles Art District.
Yeah, they're downtown. They're I've never been to that brewery. It's on the outskirts of Skid Row, but
yeah,
you know. that's LA. So. What are you drinking?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I drank Dragon's Milk, but I drank it all. So okay. Now I'm drinking somebody else brought his Hoegaarden.
That's a weird nickname for a dude.
Hoegaarden or
no, Dragon? No, Dragon.
Dragon's Milk is a bourbon-soaked beer.
Oh, so bourbon.
Bourbon barrel-aged stout. Mm.
It's good beer. It's good beer.
Yeah. What?
No.
It's good beer. Yeah, I've had
what
it.
Do,
sucked from the teat of a dragon.
I believe that.
Yeah, and pretty good.
You would.
Speaking of teats, what do you have there, Sean?
I have, I went into Total Wine last night. I saw this. So, Anchor Brewing in San Francisco, I'm a big fan of. Yeah. And this, I don't know if they had this last year. I don't
is
think
that
they did.
Is Anchor
Steam? It's not Anchor Steam. It's the Anchor Brewing Brewers Pale Ale. And it's like, I think the six-pack holder said an everyday pale ale, but it's
the Nelson Hop Blend.
Nelson Hop Blend. It's pleasant.
Yeah.
You know, there's more in there. So I really, I enjoy a good pale ale. So, you know, it's like IPAs are one thing. It's kind
that's
of a
nice.
Time and place, but these are usually milder. I don't need, you know, the cotton mouth.
You don't need the
12%.
No.
And I didn't really eat that much today. So I had a beer earlier. I had a beer earlier, and I'm kind of already slurring my words after one beer, so I was like,
nice.
I didn't really eat. So
easy target.
Eating's over. Eating's
no.
He
no.
sells potato chips.
Nope.
I had some good barbecue across the street at Brit's Barbecue.
With potato chips.
Nobody cares.
All right, one at a time, one at a time.
So, shall we talk? Wait, first of all, what is the stuff in front of you, Mike?
Well, I'm going to buy this tonight.
What is it? Tell
so
us about
at
it.
At El Cuervo Gallery. They have some things here. This is
it's a gift shop.
You do superhero. So it's like a blank superhero you can design.
Oh, that's awesome.
Voice
so I got
recordable.
One for me, I got one for a gram. It looks
no
kind
way,
of,
voice recordable? Oh my god, that's amazing.
And it's only $5.
What?
Yeah. Are you buying the only two he has?
Maybe. I don't know.
Why are these only $5? That's a great price.
It is.
Why is it only $5, Ralph?
Because we have
just say it's 15. He'll pay it. He'll pay, totally pay it. Mike, you have another beer.
You didn't see the zero, dude.
Nobody picked them up, so we're like, all right.
Cool. It's a blowout.
And I have a, they don't sell this here, but I have the Smokey and the Bandit DVD.
So let's talk about the, you know, I want to say something before we go into, so Burt Reynolds passed away, and just so nobody thinks that Mike is jumping on, I don't think anyone would think that anyway, but because I went to a Jesus Lizard show with you in December, and you went in cosplay as Burt Reynolds. I'm like,
I went to Jesus Lizard as fucking Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, you had like the leather jacket and the hat. I was like, why are you in Burt Reynolds cosplay to see the Jesus Lizard?
Jesus regular.
No, it was a couple months ago.
It was really bizarre.
I went to the Jesus Lizard show.
Yeah, you were in Burt Reynolds cosplay, man.
It was a cosplay.
It was the fucking.
Now, are you sure he just wasn't dressed as Turd Ferguson?
No, it was.
No, it wasn't Turd Ferguson.
But Mike.
Yeah, it's a funny name, you know.
You know, we had like an 8 or 9 month hiatus for a while. With this show, and at some point when I talked to you about coming back, you were like, I think we should totally do the show again, because check this out, we do a skit, and you explained and I haven't seen Smokey the Bandit since I was a kid.
Okay.
But you explained that, yeah, I know, you believe me, I get it from him all the time. You explained how you wanted to do a skit where you were Burt Reynolds with the beer cans or whatever.
That
was your whole reason for wanting to do the show again.
We have to do that.
We will.
Smoking the Bandit 2, so Smoking the Bandit 2 opens with, like, there's like 15 minutes of no Burt Reynolds in the beginning of the movie, and they're like, we have to find a bandit. So they find a bandit, and he's in this hotel room, and there's like this like stack of beer cans. And he just burps, and the beer can's falling, and the bandit's there.
So my hope is before, like, we'll definitely do that.
He died at 82. If I could live to 82, I'm good, dude.
Yeah,
living like that, if I can make it to 82, I'm a happy man. If I have Ryan's mustache at 82,
you can have it now.
I know.
Just stop. Just do it, dude. Look, do it.
But I want to make it.
Do it.
It's 82, though.
It's catchy.
Lose
it.
It's
like, lose. Oh, I thought you said like a viral mustache.
Lose the change and bring in the mustache, dude.
Okay.
Be fucking amazing.
Yeah,
wait,
November. November.
If I can take a few minutes to talk about Burt Reynolds and his life and stuff. What I like about him is, like, he had a charisma, a charm, and a way of life, and he always brought his friends. Like, if you pay attention to the Burt Reynolds legacy, like Dom DeLuise, who's my Rafael Navarro.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Jerry Reed, who's my Luis Reyes.
Snowman.
Yes, like, he's a musician friend. Hal Needham, who was the director and his stuntman early on. So he always, like, kept his circle.
And June, is that hot Sally Fields?
I think Belle would be my Sally Field. June would be the Jackie Chan.
We're trying to work our way to doing the show at the comic book again. So let's.
He did two movies with Jackie Chan.
He did.
And he actually brought Jackie Chan to America, as I brought June to America.
Oh, I thought you meant June brought Jackie Chan to America.
What is this?
I hope you enjoy.
No,
I hope you
the Cannonball Run was Jackie Chan's first U.S. movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is correct.
That's true.
No. And the comic book was June's first U.S. business.
No. It is not. He was in Game of Death.
Yeah.
Which is not a U.S. movie.
No.
It had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in it.
He's in Enter the Dragon. He fights with Bruce Lee. He's the first guy that he spars with.
Was that Enter the Dragon? I thought that was Game of Death.
No. Enter the Dragon.
Because I remember, did you ever hear the story with Jackie Chan? Jackie Chan's story about Bruce Lee.
Yes.
Where he was sparring with Bruce Lee in the thing, and Bruce Lee accidentally punched him, and he's like, oh, it wasn't really that hard, but it's Bruce Lee, so I'm like, oh, it hurt really bad. He's like, are you okay? He's like, oh, it's so bad, and Bruce is like hugging me, and I'm like, oh, Bruce is hugging me. So, oh, it's so bad, it's so bad.
Wow.
Just keep hugging me.
Is that a U.S. movie?
I thought it was.
Universal.
Okay, but it didn't have Burt Reynolds in it, so it wasn't like a real U.S. movie.
Okay.
So anyway, what I'm saying is, like, Burt Reynolds, like, always brought his friends along. And I don't know if you guys notice this about me, but
you do.
I always bring my friends with me. Like,
it's an entourage.
For better or for worse.
For
worse. No, so that's it. And so that's a big part of my ethos is, like, you know, whatever achievements I get, and they're not great, they're good enough.
That's
like, if I could bring my friends, like, I'm gonna do it.
That's awesome.
Well, we love you too.
Well, we love you too.
Well,
for worse.
For worse. For worse.
Ride or die.
So yeah, and I also have a fast black car. And I've outrun the police 3 times in it so far.
Have you really?
I have. Yeah. I have.
You said you turned off your lights for one of them, right?
Well, that was back in the day, but
there's
no,
ghost
recently,
cars all along these highways.
Recently, I turned down. I turned off aviation. No, off of yeah.
He's self-criminalizing himself.
No, it's okay. Fuck the police. I turned off Manhattan's boat.
I'm actually wearing a wire.
To Inglewood.
Yeah.
And there was this asshole driving really slow. And
where?
The warehouse.
Towards my house. There's this guy driving really slow on the right lane, the far right. So I sped around him, went around him, and then I saw these lights go on. And I'm like, oh shit. So I cut in the neighborhood.
And it was Jackie Chan.
And I cut, like, not to the direction of my house, but I cut the direction north to lose him, and I lost him like a motherfucker, dude.
So let's segue into comics.
Yes.
Because we've done the drinking.
Yes. Obviously.
So, Ralph, do you have a favorite comic? Do you have a gem of the collection, or
my favorite series is Scout so far. And
Tim Truman.
Tim Truman. Yeah, and it was just such a good run. It was one of the first runs that I thought did a really great interpretation of like Native American reservations, particularly the Sioux. Mm. So I was really hooked on that. The artwork is gorgeous. That was just it's been one of my favorite runs in a long time.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know that comic at all.
It's
good books.
You'd love
it's
it.
So good.
Like
80s.
Okay. Who's the creator?
Tim Truman.
Yeah.
Tim Truman?
Don't even interrupt.
No, that's fine.
Considering the question you just asked him, it made me think about something. And I have to move soon, so I've been looking through my collection to see what I have that's of really great value. And I'm just curious, going around from the panel, what do you have that you think is probably the maybe most cherished, if not the most, the one that you know is worth the most?
Ooh, that's kind of a hard
most one. Cherished is, for me at least, so far divorced from what's worth the most, mm-hmm. You know?
Preacher?
I have the original, you know, first Preacher. I bought it like the day it came out, or the week it came out at least. So that would actually probably be among my top, like, I guess.
Oh, of course.
Monetarily speaking, and like endearment.
Mm-hmm.
Ray has a bunch of stuff from the 90s where it's like I have that New Mutants 98, the first Deadpool, which it still blows my mind that like I saw somebody buy that at your store.
For like $300.
For a lot of money, and I was like, fuck, I have that at home. Like I would have sold it to you, you know, for like $100. Well, I probably wouldn't have sold it.
For drug money, come on.
Yeah.
All the drugs.
All of them.
Comics are interesting in that they're not really, you know, you can't really invest in them anymore because after the 90s, people started to try and manufacture
investments. Yeah, lenticular covers.
And it doesn't
all that
work
bullshit.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
Except it does.
Does
I mean,
it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it does.
I mean, everything.
It's a weekly thing.
Everything
yeah.
Is worth something to somebody.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's about finding the right person.
That's typical,
you know?
That's very true.
At the same time,
what I've discovered is every week there's like 3 or 4 books where like they introduce a new character that everybody wants to jump on board of, and it goes up to $20 or $30. And
a month
later. I have about 4 or 5 customers that call and ask for these books, so then I know like what those books are,
mm-hmm.
and say, "Oh, okay."
So then you add an extra zero onto the.
There's
tag
a couple websites.
Say, we got it.
Yeah, speculator websites. So that market's still alive. It still helps feed the market.
It's the 90s all over again.
It is.
Well, when DC brought
lenticular
back, I was like, really.
Part of the whole problem with that is, you know, you got the collectors, you know, which I'm very guilty of, thinking like, "Oh, this is going to be worth something someday."
You totally.
I'm never going to sell it though.
You do that. Which isn't a criticism.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. And so Ray, like, you're in a position where, like, I'm sure, you know, you didn't necessarily think you were going to sell it. But then, you know, at some point you can assess things and be like, I haven't looked at it in 20 years. So, I mean, why
well,
not sell
exactly.
it? And,
I mean,
okay. Because
they were literally sitting and I was like, well, I'm not taking a gun from these. So,
yeah.
You know, why
Why buy it?
Another one I found, for example, is like, why am I holding on to Amazing Spider-Man 300? Why am I holding on to this issue of X-Men that I barely remember reading?
Right.
And it's
because at some point you're going to need to pay for the nursing home.
Right.
So I'm like, well, fuck it. I might as well just get rid of this stuff because, you know, just let someone else enjoy it.
So,
well, let me take a crack before you send him over to this guy.
There
you go. Same here.
My friend John was just out from Chicago, the Viking, and he did a couple years ago. He just purged everything, and he had all these like, New York X and First Michonne, Walking Dead, and all, and he just sold them because he converted everything to digital because it's like
space.
I no longer like I don't have the space, and I went through something recently when I moved where I sold a lot of movies. I gave away a lot of books, or actually I didn't sell any movies. What am I saying? I gave it all away, but there is a point. Like, you have a library, and when I see your library, it reminds me, like, you
the curate space
it,
for a library,
and you curate it very well. Like, you're very good about choosing things and like first editions, and you find stuff, you know, you have that like magic power, right?
Goodwill.
It's yeah, a
lot of Goodwill finds,
but it's cool, you know. And like, our friend Anthony has a DVD collection. I look at him like, I remember, like, wow, you know, I always had the Gatsby fetish, I wanted the library.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't really have the space for it, so
see,
it's
I'm
like,
just waiting to do, I'm just waiting to like double stack it and bring in a ladder. Little roller land.
You gotta hire somebody with owl eyes to sit in there.
I know, time, right? You know?
So, okay, let's talk about.
I need a smoking jacket.
You do. Let's talk
pipe.
About some comics. So, what do we?
Calm down, Hugh Hefner.
This is face up on two of our piles. So let's talk about this first.
Cover, yeah.
Cover.
So
this is a new Bendis book.
So Bendis
on,
went to
what?
DC.
Jinx World.
And as a result, he's writing, you know, Superman and Batman or whatever he's writing. And so they're also distributing his Jinx World stuff. So he's got a bunch of new books. Scarlet finally fucking came back. I mean, there's been like three issues in the last like 6 years. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. But so this is new, and I was just going to skip it.
You want to thumb through it a little bit around?
David Mack did the art, and it's gorgeous. As, you know, David Mack.
The art is very nice.
So Mike, what do you think? You were the one that was like, I want to talk about this. So
yeah. So, I mean, it's the first comic I've read in about a year.
Wow.
Well, David Mack started hanging around the bug like the last 2 weeks. So
get a bumper,
huh?
Get a bumper for us.
Yeah, oh, I will.
Okay.
So the first week he came in was the week before this book came out.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't realize it, but I looked at my like spam folder on my phone.
He'd been emailing you.
And I got a text from Dave Mack. He's like, I want to do a signing. I'm like, holy shit. I had 4 days to put it together. We did it. It was amazing. And this book is great. I mean, I've always been a Bendis fan.
Yeah, I think he's very good.
I mean, I'm hit or miss with him. One of my favorite books was done by him, which was the first run of Alias.
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay.
The whole introduction
and
of Jessica
Jones. And as good
Jones.
As the show is, it's the comic
the
is just fantastic.
Yeah,
just,
I mean...
Well,
which
David
Mack
designed the opening credits for that.
Yeah,
I mean,
really.
Yeah.
Which one of the biggest things for me, and I really miss the Marvel Max imprint, was I love that R-rated.
Yeah.
You know, it's more graphic. There's more adult language because it's more grounded in reality. You know, you see.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you see a lot of these books that try to get grounded in reality. You know, and they're just sitting there. Oh shoot. Oh fudge. And I'm like, that is not that takes me out of
that's
the.
That's not how I talk.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I understand the whole comics code. Is that still a thing?
Not really. But still, you gotta behave yourself a little bit.
Nah, it's art. You shouldn't have to, then. But I know
watching.
They want to sell shit, so I get it.
Huh?
Kirsten's watching.
Oh,
hi, Kirsten.
So, but yeah, so like he came in and I read the book, and so I asked him. I was like, "How much of this is true?" Because I feel like there's a bit of truth.
Yeah, there has to be.
There's a bit of fantasy
too.
There's a lot of fantasy.
Let's talk about the setup. So it starts out with it's a Comic-Con, right? And I mean, it doesn't explicitly say San Diego Comic-Con, but it's a
Comic-Con.
It's a,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a convention.
Yeah.
And
this lady comes and like.
So
how
there's
much
a,
is this?
There's
how
much an
is
artist
that buys
that,
all of his art.
What's his name? Max
Weinberg.
Yes, Max Weinberg, and he's playing the drums. No, it's like Max Fried or something. I don't know. But she comes, you know, and she's like, "Oh, you're this guy," and the exchange escalates where he doesn't think she knows really who he is, and she hands him a bunch of cash for a bunch of originals.
And Jordan, you've booked with me at shows before. You've seen me get excited for people spending $10, right?
Yeah.
So you know, like, how excited I might be if somebody bought $800.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like you just said, you know, like, she acts like she doesn't really know who he is.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of red flags in there.
Yes,
that they're very borderline, like, stalker kind of
thing.
Oh, you're so-and-so. Oh, hey, by the way, you did this book. He's like, well, yes, I did. He's like, well, I have all of those. You know, oh, really cool. Yeah, I follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I thought he looked familiar. And it's like, no, she knows exactly who you are.
Absolutely. And so it kind of...
But as an artist, like, that's exciting.
It is exciting.
Oh,
so,
of course it is.
That's the beauty of the book is where...
And that's where that's why you see that. You just smell soccer.
Well, so she, you know, she plays to the artist's ego, and she, you know...
Well, not just ego, because he's very humble.
Well, he is humble, but I mean, she's building him up, right? And then there's this whole thing where, I mean, I don't know if this is this a spoiler to, like, go into, like, the...
Where it's the premise of the book, so it's okay.
So the premise of the book is, like, he thinks this is just this awesome chance encounter, and oh my god, this woman just bought, like, $800 worth of my original prints, and this and that.
$1,000.
You know, she doesn't want the prints, she wants the original art. And she, right.
Mm-hmm.
And she shows up at another con... And it's weird. It's like, whoa.
She stands him up the second time.
And then she stands him up at dinner because she invites him to dinner. Because then you're thinking, like, okay, this is like sexy time or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it ends up like she's a spy. Well, she says she's a spy for the U.S. government. And
she's
basically
a recruiter, yeah.
Was with the end? It's like he's flown to Turkey, right? Like Istanbul. And somebody's like, is there a con in Istanbul? He's like, I guess they're paying my way. He shows up. There's a, you know, the driver with the sign says Max.
Does anybody speak English?
Yeah.
And everyone's just, you know, doesn't know what. And it pans over, you know, and here she is. You know, welcome to Istanbul, dressed as a driver. So it makes it seem like, you know, he's a comic artist who is getting recruited, you know, into the American spy network.
Yeah.
Presumably, as long as she's telling the truth.
Yeah.
Which we don't know.
Would she be, though? Like, because that would.
Because we don't know for sure.
Serve the premise of the book.
You don't know.
It could be.
So with Jinx World, he's continuing
Scarlet,
which
Pearl.
Is a book that's been around for a long time and doesn't have many issues. Again, not a criticism. It's a great book, but, you know. Pearl is a new book. The United States versus Murder, which is some kind of mob book, I think.
Yeah.
And then we've got Pearl. No, I just said that.
You said that. And this...
And this. Is that... That's it?
There's four books, yeah.
Okay.
Cover.
So, it's interesting to me that Bendis went to DC after being such a...
Dax Mears?
Like the backbone of Marvel.
Dax.
He was.
And I feel like DC's being a little bit cooler about putting his stuff out than Marvel was.
Well, they're
like,
happy to have him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he brought the much needed, especially to the icon of DC. I mean, he pitched and he said, listen, I don't want to write Batman because any fucker can write Batman. He's like, it takes balls and skill to write Superman. He's like, I want Superman. Okay, done.
That's really interesting. And we talked about his first Superman two episodes ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I was underwhelmed, but I'm not going to read Superman.
It's really good.
But I believe that's really good. I think Bendis would be the guy to do that because, you know.
The last, like, good Superman story I read was Red Sun.
I never read
that.
Mark Millar. Never read
that. That was a fantastic story, and that was probably the last time where I read a Superman, and I was just like, shit, I want more.
What, that was that late 90s or?
No, that was maybe like 2005, 6, 7, somewhere in there.
And the reason why the ending, basically, the reason why it worked, because Grant Morrison came up with the ending. So Mark Millar's like, I came up
really?
In the corner. So, oh, yeah, he actually went to
really?
Mm-hmm. So,
so the ending is all pure Grant Morrison.
Ooh, I like that.
I was going to say, you know, I don't read much. I've never, when I was a kid, I liked the movies. But other than that, I've never liked the character. But Grant Morrison's All-Star Superman is fantastic.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And so the other thing is, like, when he wrote him in that, and then, like, the Final Crisis, there were these two issues that were, like, Superman 3D.
Yes.
And he's, like, he's the guy, like, when you hear Grant Morrison talk in interviews about writing Superman, I feel like he's the only person that gets it. Just like I feel like he was the only person in 30 years that got Magneto. where it's like, no, like, everybody kind of parses down these characters, like, blow them up. Like, Superman's literally, like, pulling, that's awesome, pulling panels from the comic book together because he's able to cross between,
yeah.
You know, it's like this ultra meta take on it, but it's fucking Superman, like,
mm-hmm.
You really need to do something special to stand out, because it's like, otherwise the guy is just, you know,
yeah.
He's unstoppable.
Which are boring. Which no, I do have to say one of my most favorite like recent takes on Superman, both surprisingly, was the Injustice series.
Now, so you were telling me about this the other night. I've never read
They based it off of the video game,
yeah.
But it surpasses the video game by miles. The whole premise is that, you know, one day, you know, the Joker basically. You know, uses some gas on Superman, and he sees Doomsday shows up, and he immediately starts fighting and takes him up into space and, you know, basically kills him. But in reality, it was really a pregnant Lois Lane.
That's insane. That's totally fucking insane.
And he realizes what happened, and this is Superman comes in, and he's so angry, he just puts his fist through the Joker. And, you know, at that point, Batman is just like, you know, you crossed a line. And
which
that's
really,
when,
like, Batman, and, come on.
And that's when Superman basically becomes like a
Homelander.
Yes, he becomes like basically the planet's dictator. Yeah. And so it's basically, you know, you need to fall in line or else. And it's basically DC's like Civil War,
yeah.
Is what it was. And it's a fantastic read. At least the first
So what? Was it a limited series? It's not like an ongoing thing, right?
Well, I think it still is. They basically did like Injustice 1 and Injustice 2. The first one took place over the span of like 5 years.
Okay.
Wait,
story time or real time?
Year 1, year 2, year 3 over this whole big thing. I haven't read any of Injustice 2, but the first one, it's fantastic. You know, you see a lot of characters in new lights.
Is that the first time a comic book, you know, like, so Harley Quinn's like the example of like it started in a cartoon and then was mm-hmm. adopted by the comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the first time a comic book started in a video game? Like they were like the video game's so popular. Yes.
Yeah.
Injustice. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the whole premise was, you know, how can we make a fighting game out of DC? You know. And they said, okay, well, here's a rough kind of storyline that'll be kind of the thing. And they kind of touch on it in the game, but the books, I mean, it transcends the games by leaps and bounds.
So does the game have the whole thing where, like, he killed pregnant Lois Lane? Is that, like, the impetus in the game?
I mean, that's kind of how it starts.
Okay.
They imply it for you.
Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not as, like, defined.
They don't imply
yeah.
she's pregnant.
Okay.
They don't show it in the game, but they show him kill Joker after. After they had the discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What about
Very
Cemetery true. Beach?
Let's talk, so
it's a lot
Cemetery
of
Beach.
Let's talk Cemetery Beach. So Warren Ellis, Jason Howard, they do trees. Okay. Warren Ellis is one of my favorite people on the planet. I get his newsletter, Orbital Operations, every Sunday. It makes me very happy.
I know, me too.
I really enjoyed it. I really like the premise, and I really like the at least so far the main protagonist.
So, it starts with an...
Protagonist.
It starts with an interrogation, which here's, I guess, the setup.
Well, what kind of genre? Because...
Well, we don't know.
Sci-fi.
There's more, so... It's first of everything.
It's sci-fi. Basically, the whole premise behind it is that at some point in the 1920s?
Let me read verbatim.
Verbatim.
So my employers, so this man is being interrogated. He's naked, he's handcuffed to a table, and there's a man holding a stiletto to his throat. And he's like, I'll tell you, hey, I'm not a hero.
Military garb, all that night.
I'll tell you anything you want to know. I'm here because my employers discovered that around 1920, a group of industrialists and scientists found and operated a method to travel off-world. An off-world colony was established some 10 years later and has been receiving intermittent resupplies ever since. So the idea is that this man is an agent sent into this off-world colony in this other dimension, and these people don't want to be infiltrated. So
no.
Somebody, some industrialist discovered a way to go to a different dimension, and they went there, and
or,
they...
Or I'm thinking like more like wormhole kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like they figure it away with Beth spheres.
But it's... You know, Warren Ellis is one of the... He's a futurist. He's one of these guys. He writes stuff that's going to happen, I feel like, often.
But what I really like is... So, very, very first page, he's being interrogated, and interrogator says, "You will tell me everything I want to know, eventually." To which he replies, "Oh, hell no. I'll tell you everything right now. Go ahead, ask me anything." "What? Everybody knows torture doesn't work, but it hurts a lot. I didn't sign up to get hurt a lot."
No, you don't throw those.
Stop.
So...
Sean's
gonna beat your ass.
Very good book. Really anxious to see where it goes. I miss Trees. I know there's more coming. That's Ellis and Howard's other book. Great book.
Did he finish Injection?
No, Injection is on hold until next year. Injection is his best thing since Dr. Sleepless, in my opinion.
I haven't read it.
Oh, it's fucking fantastic. It's so good. It's like... five people who have different specialties got together and, like, basically used bonded a magical servitor to a, like, a virus, a computer virus, and put it into, like, the world. And so it wants to create novelty. So it's just creating all this weird shit. Hmm. So it starts with, like, this British, agent being brought into this place where they're like, yeah, there's actually, it looks like this like fits this weird phenomenon happening, looks like it fits with fairies, you know, from folklore.
Yeah.
And it is, because no, the computer program wants to liven things up, so it actually like makes this happen. So there's a lot of that, but it's a fantastic book.
Hmm.
All Ellis's stuff is very cinematic. It's very widescreen. He chooses artists that do that. Like,
I was
going
to say,
yeah,
the layouts here is gorgeous.
Right? That's the picture. Like, I saw that, and I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, that is as cinematic as comics get.
Yeah.
Moon Knight.
Yeah. Oh, his Moon Knight is unbelievable. Yeah, Declan. Yeah, who does Injection? So fucking good. Shall we talk about... So, originally, we were going to have Ryan Caddy on. Is it Caddy?
Katie? Yeah. I haven't read his book yet.
That's like Mean Girls.
So, his book is not out yet. So, Ryan had to...
Did you read the preview?
Huh?
Did you read the preview?
Yeah. Ryan had to cancel. He had a family emergency, so we hope everything is okay. His new book is Infinite Dark. When I spoke to him at your store, he was like, you know, it's like Event Horizon, but good. Which I really like. I really liked it, but the first time you see it, you're blown away, and the second time you see it, it's not quite as good.
I wasn't blown. I thought it was shit the first time I saw it.
I don't remember.
Okay.
So, Infinite Dark. This comes out October 10th. Ryan Caddy.
Katie.
God damn.
Katie.
It's a space station.
He's awesome. He's Iron Man.
At the edge of the universe, where a black hole is basically consuming everything in the universe. And so Earth had apparently saw this coming, created and staffed this space station to evacuate to, and then that didn't happen because it happened too fast. So basically, these people are on the space station, and it was supposed to be like a life raft, and instead...
It's like a prep crew kind of thing.
So the thing I loved about this book so much, totally sold it to me. Like, there's a line in it where I think I actually wrote it down. It was meant to be a life raft. I pretend like I'm reading from this, but I'm not.
I need fun.
But it was a tombstone. So instead of being where they can save humanity, it's just like a handful of people on this place, and that's it. It's done.
They're done.
And oh man, I really, really liked it. I feel like it reminds me a lot of Southern Cross in a way. The what?
It comes out more.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good book. But
Becky Cloonan and I can't think of the artist's name offhand because I've been drinking. But
Jason Latour.
Hey, hashtag honesty.
Sean, just move your mouth for a second. Do we'll just Godzilla it and we'll overdub it.
Andy Bellinger. You have a dollar bin right now, and
yes.
In your dollar bin, I found the first issue of two, and I wish I could have found the fucking second one.
That's $16 for number two.
Pinhead versus Martial Law.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Find me the second.
Where's number
issue.
Two?
So,
it only had one.
No, it says one of fucking two.
I know, but it only had one. They didn't have
another
two.
Yeah, okay.
And he told me to put it in there. I was like,
dude.
I don't want to put it in there, but no.
This is the worst kind of 90s. Like, look at this
cover.
Oh,
oh yeah.
Cover.
Yeah.
Like, you right away. It's like, it's just. And
yep.
Too sweet.
Well, it's going to be worse.
Kevin O'Neill does the art, who does League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with Alan
yeah.
Moore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so funny because you see how he tempered his style from this to work with Alan Moore. You know, nothing against Kevin O'Neill. Like, I think he's a good artist. But this
is. Alan Moore is more demanding.
The zeitgeist of the 90s. I mean, this is so ridiculous. But I'm like, Pinhead versus. And the funny thing was, at first, I thought it was. Martial Law, I thought, was Brave Star, which was that, like, weird PG cartoon.
Yeah.
So I was like, when the fuck did this happen? Who was like, hey, you know what would be great? Like, Pinhead versus Duke from G.I. Joe.
No, Martial Law is awesome, dude. Yeah, it was a good comic.
Yeah, good.
Read Martial Law versus the Marvel Universe, I think it was.
So it's basically a Judge Dredd analog,
some
right?
This is just
yeah, cooler, though. I think
yeah.
cooler.
It's very 90s. Very. Like, I read it, and I was immediately brought back to that, like, I don't know.
Nostalgia.
Wait, there's like so much happening, and everybody's spitting like exposition, and but I mean, whatever. I mean, fucking Pinhead versus what the fuck?
It's a good time, dude.
Yeah, definitely. So
especially
cool.
for a dollar.
Okay, what do you got? Faith No More comic.
So yeah, it's not a comic book, but this book, Faith No More, Small Victories, written by my boy Adrian Hart.
Did this just come out?
Yeah, it just came out. Actually, just released in America this week.
I need to buy that because it'll be better than that. What was a Mr. Bungle?
That comic book. That
not the comic book. There was a Amazon Faith No More.
Oh my God!
Biography.
This is terrible.
I don't know, but this
you
is
have it. We talked about
the dialogue.
Yeah,
it's
awful. It's
fucking
awful.
Horrible.
It's awful. Yes, I have pins in my head. Is because
no,
I am
start,
a
you straight have
a Lord of Hell.
You straight have Pinhead saying, "Oh, come on now."
Yeah.
There's somebody. We could use a man like you in hell.
Oh, that sounds sexy.
That's what they say. No, but this is amazing, dude. Like, so the first chapter, I was reading the first chapter, and it goes into the genealogy of each band member and, like, why they had the status they had when they were kids. So I skipped ahead to the end of the book and started reading backwards.
Oh, you're terrible.
Who, me?
Who does that?
I mean,
I gotta see how it ends.
Who, me? No. Well, because, like, that's where we are now, dude. I want to see where, and how did the band reform, and, like, I know how they broke up, but how did they reform? Like, what caused that? And this book has all the answers. It's really good. I'm a Faith No More head.
Yeah, me too.
There's a lot of Faith No More heads out there. I thought I knew everything about the band, but I knew, like, 1/4 of what this dude
I'll
was.
Totally read that, because
it's amazing.
The biography I'm talking about, it was a couple years ago. And it wasn't really that good. And, the back, fourth of it was, you know, other people from other bands talking about Faith No More. And that was the first time I realized so many people checked out after Angel Dust.
Yeah.
And that blew me away because King for a Day is a fucking amazing record.
Dude, the chapter I skipped to was the making of King for a Day.
Uh-huh.
And, like, yeah, just, like... So the guy that, like, orchestrated Aretha Franklin's background, like, choruses and stuff.
Which
is
another
riff. Is that the dude that grabbed Ariana Grande?
I don't know. But he orchestrated the choir for Just a Man. You know?
Do you remember when that, I believe King for a Day is 1995.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day that came out. It was like... Well, actually, it was before that, because before the internet, there was a thing called Prodigy, and my friend Brown had it.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a cassette of, like, the new Faith No More album, right? I remember the first time I heard King for a Day, just a man.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like almost Vegas. Like I pictured, you know, Elvis.
Well, Star AD had that Vegas thing going.
But so did like and so the background singers on Just a Man, and it is amazing. That record, you know, any day that you talk to me, if you say what is your favorite Faith No More album?
Mm-hmm.
One day it's Angel Dust, the next day it's King for a Day.
Oh, right.
It's
right.
The other phone.
Yeah, I mean, and like, you know, Trey, yeah, like, it's a really...
this is ours.
And so...
Informative book, let's just say
you
that.
Know, the other thing, the irony, right, where Angel Dust is Jim Martin's last record as guitar player, and he leaves because it's too keyboard-centric.
Right, and then Roddy's not there on the next.
And then
album.
Roddy's not there on the next record, right? So right. There's next to no keyboards as opposed to, you know, the previous things.
Well, let me just read a quote from when I first heard about this Faith No More biography. I didn't know what to think, but I have to give credit where it is due. It's a quality piece. The man has done his research, and it shows. It provided me with more than a few revelations, and I'm in the band. Billy Gould.
There you go.
That's the first review of the book. And it's an amazing, like, I know not many people give a shit about Faith No More.
Which is amazing.
But that's fine. So you heard about Gender Fluid?
No, don't say epic.
You guys
no.
know about Gender Fluid?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I know all
oh,
about
yeah, 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 yeah.
I know all about Gender Fluid.
So
I think Faith, Gender Fluid and
So Faith No More is the first genre fluid band. Genre Fluid. Yeah, because they did soul music, they did metal.
That's such a weird way to describe their music.
But that was it's in the book about genre fluidity.
Back to the comics. This is one I picked up actually today while I was waiting on Mike to show up at the Comic Bug so we could get chairs for this evening.
I was arguing with my ex-wife.
Like you do.
Who doesn't?
This one's called Cold Spots.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to Cold Sores.
Sold out fast.
Oh, you want to feel the cold sores?
I know.
No, oh wait, it's cool.
Cold Spots sold out fast.
Really cool book so far. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty interesting. It's kind of playing out like a ghost story slash kind of detective noir.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if it takes place in the kind of like New England or something like that. I kind of get that vibe
from it. It culminates at Murray Island. I wanted to Google that before we came on.
I figured either like Pacific Northwest or, you know, somewhere about there. But yeah, really interesting like kind of ghost story. It starts off with a couple and, you know, old man kind of hollering at his wife. And she's really not hearing him. And he kind of says, you know, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I'm watching the kids play. And he's like, what do you mean watching the kids play? You know, presumably the kids are dead is kind of the thing. And he looks out the window, and outside there's like basically ghost children playing in an old jungle gym still out there. And then it kind of cuts to this younger guy who seems to be is hired by some wealthy, entrepreneur
when, and
of
you
some
don't quite
sort.
Know their relationship. There's like a lot of like
they do know one another because they are on a first name basis.
Well, and there's something about like I wish we just stuck to our deal or something like that. Like so there's like some kind of bad blood going on, but like they don't really explain it yet, which is good, you know.
Yeah. But it seems like there's this guy who he's been hired to find this person's missing daughter. We never actually see who was the person who hired him. We more so see his butler.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of going through their old mansion, trying to get ideas and get clues and whatnot. He finds this old, this picture that this child has drawn. In the background, you see these two kind of gray people in suits. And he says, well, who are they? And he kind of finally breaks down the wall and gets this old butler to talk and says, oh, I thought... You know, her parents are so cold to her that she needed friends to talk to, and I didn't think it would be an issue. But then she went off with them. And the kid has run off with these ghosts. And from there on out, he's basically trying to hunt and track down this child.
I liked it. I mean,
it's an interesting premise.
An hour and a half ago, and I read it, and I almost bought it just based on the name. And you know, Colin Bunn did the last issue we talked about, Unholy Grail, right?
Oh shit! Is that?
I think that was Colin. Was that Colin Bunn? I feel like that was Colin Bunn.
Science officer. You're a million miles away.
What did you want from me?
Colin Bunn.
That was awesome.
What else has he written?
I don't fucking. Oh, I'm googling it.
It's your germ, girl.
I didn't get much sleep.
Well, while she's googling, Ralph, you want to talk about your class you're teaching, man? At Da Vinci.
We teach graphic design, so my focus, instead of doing the standard website bullshit, wars ahead of me, I have a lot of autonomy, so I'm teaching the students the same skills, but like my first section is comics. So our main focus is the graphic novel. I'm looking at Will Eisner, you know, a lot of Kirby, you know, just looking at a lot of sequential art. And so the whole first section is just, you know, for the juniors, I had them do 3 pages of their own comic. They can do whatever they want, it's their story, but I go through thumbnails, storyboards, and then finally, you know, final pages, pencil layout.
Nice.
And they have the option, they can ink it traditionally or they can do it in Illustrator, but they have to digitally paint it, Photoshop.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
That way I apply the 2 softwares and they get to use it. For the seniors, I did something a little different. I broke them up into studio groups, right? So I was like, all right, guys, you guys can choose your teams, how many people you have, doesn't matter, at least minimum 4. Mm-hmm. So if they're a team of 6, I'm like, great, you're writing a graphic novel. You got 6 pages to tell me a story.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so the whole team's responsible. Every member has 1 page. They have to deliver. Like, you have to stay in queue, you know, every character has to match. The story has to have a flow. If the pages change, like let's say one style is different than the other, it has to make sense in the story. Why do you do it? So each team has to deliver at the end a 6-page little graphic novel that, you know, has a beginning, middle, and end.
Nice.
It could be a part of a story, or it could be part of something that's already going on. It just has to make sense, you know, for the section we're seeing. So yeah, they're stressing out. It's great.
Is this your first year doing it?
I taught, I used to teach at a school that was for students out of the juvenile detention system, or kids out of, you know, out of jail and trying to transition, but they can't go back to their old school, so they go to non-public.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kids, which is great about them, is everybody kind of give up on them. So they loved art. That was the only thing there. So
that's what they had left, yeah.
So a lot of the prototypes began there, you know, so I started teaching them Watchmen. I remember I went over the graphic novel. And then I had them watch the film and dissect the difference between the two.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, right? And then we got into like, okay, let's start actually drawing comics.
Cool.
So, you know, just bit by bit.
And you're making comics too, right?
Yeah. I've been working on a comic since a couple of years, since 2015.
Can you tell us about it?
It was my thesis for my MFA. So I did about 25 pages. And I just, you know, I love comics. I read a lot of comics, but I never saw anything that dealt with like, you know, kind of like a Latino story, so I wanted something that started in Spain, and the first part, middle part, ends up in Mexico, and the last part in Los Angeles.
Okay.
My idea. Like a Latino story, but like from every aspect of culture, you know? So it's essentially kind of like a monster who finds monsters. A Spaniard, you know, who's like part werewolf.
Are you going to finish it?
I'm hoping to, yeah. I've been working on it, so slowly.
And his last name is Villalobos,
right.
So werewolf.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're writing it and?
And drawing.
Yeah. Oh, so that's like the optimum way to do it,
right?
You know?
Well, you know, it's funny because I went to, at the Bug, you guys had Magnolia over once, and he was doing this great talk, and people were asking him about how he started out and if he could do things over again. And he was saying how back then you had to either do Marvel or DC if you wanted to start out. You had to have some kind of work, you know, inking and doing stuff that nobody wanted to do. And then he's like, if I could do it again, I just would have done my own shit. If I would, you know, I just would have done creator own. And I was like, yeah, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And that kind of spurred me more to keep going.
That's awesome.
So I'm like, yeah, it takes forever. You know,
it takes a while. I mean, but you can get it done. And you know, obviously I'm here to help you.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. And
if
yeah,
you ever need that.
Source,
so,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and Ralph's his car is in anybody who's read Guns Blazing #6.
Yeah.
The car that Eduardo and Cody
jump
in.
Oh really?
Yeah. Oh
the
yeah.
Escape.
My 27.
That's his actual car.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Didn't you guys do like a picture and like actually you and Ralph?
That inspired the scene, man. So like
shit.
For issue 3,
hey,
Ralph
I'm
came.
I'm in there too.
Ralph came to the signing and brought his car is called Baby. Mm-hmm. My car is called Baby. Maybe he planted the seed, I don't know. But but yeah, so we jump in Baby and we go, you know, maybe it's Baby's grandma.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's over 100 now.
What?
She's over 100 years old.
Maybe, baby.
So yeah, so that,
knows that
no, I've known Ralph for many years, and again, thank you for letting us come here to do this tonight.
I'm glad you guys had me on.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel honored that this is like the end to like this is you said this will be non-existent.
The end of an era, yeah.
So, wrap it.
Yeah, let's wrap it up, baby.
So, all right, well, I mean, we're here at El Cuervo, and Ralph, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody out there, yeah. To those of us at Drinking with Comics, to you, drink smart, drive safe.
Drink safe.
Probably don't drink and drive.
Drink smart, drink S-Mart.